What is a theme study, and how would you do that in the Bible? Welcome to the Handing It to Jesus podcast. My name is Craig Faust. I'm here with Matt Tilley. Hey, Matt.
Hello.
And today we are going to talk about this theme study and in the workbook that we have, the Handing It to Jesus workbook, which if you don't have it, you can get it for free. It's in the show notes below. Click on the link and you can download it. The Handing It to Jesus workbook has this section in the Connect step called Theme Study. That's what we're going to talk about today. And theme study, it's not a hugely complex thing. It's not a revolutionary idea. What it is the Bible has so many different topics that it touches upon.
And that's right.
So many different places that you're working your best to gather all of them so that what you can do is hit each of the places in the Bible that it talks about this theme. Mm-hmm. And the idea is to kind of like draw upon a larger understanding of what's going on. Matt and I were talking a little bit before this, and Matt kind of made this point. This is a pretty risky thing to do.
Can be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you don't do it the right way, right?
Yeah. So we want to talk a little bit about that way that we would recommend. And I think the biggest thing is recognizing that when you do this, there is a high degree of chance that you're going to take out of context the different verses or different things that you're doing. That doesn't mean that you don't do it. There's still a lot of help in it. It's just when we step into this, we have to recognize that these conversations are happening and in some type of context. And we want to make sure that we honor that context because that's going to help us mine out some of the meaning that we're looking for.
Totally, yeah. Whenever I was in undergrad and grad school doing theology, one phrase that will always stick in my mind is that everyone loved to say, and I believe it is true as well, that context is king. Mm-hmm. Not only when we're trying to read scripture and interpret scripture, but I would say for any aspect of life, context is king. For you to have appropriate and good, healthy perspective of a situation, you need to take in all of the other people's perspectives, right? And understand what happened before, what is going on after, what's the context of what was happening in somebody's heart. You know, even whenever I do couples counseling, I'm trying to understand, well, what's the context of why this person reacted in the way that they did?
Right.
And the context I'm trying to get to is, what was going through your heart in that moment? Surely something was triggered for you, right? And you have some wounding that you're reacting out of, a fear that you're trying to protect something very sacred within yourself. And we don't understand the context in that moment. All we see is your reaction, right? And so like if we take things at a slower pace and try to understand the context of any situation in relationships, but yes, also especially in the Bible, we will always benefit ourselves. There's also benefit to doing theme studies or topical studies. You know, there's different resources out there, theology books, all different types of theology books and studies that are done. Systematic theology books, like Wayne Grudem has a systematic theology books where he pulls all of the different themes or topics that we would like to learn about and condenses them into a chapter a piece, right? And so you're getting downloaded all of this information about, you know, prayer or about marriage or about sin or about man or about God or about salvation and that kind of theology book. But there's other kinds of theology books that are like biblical theology books where it takes the entire narrative story and the context, and it goes through the biblical narratives and teachings piece by piece. And there's covenantal theology books where it each of those topics or themes, like it shines it through the moments where we see those covenants take place throughout Scripture. And there's many different covenants throughout the history of the Bible. Yeah. And so there's so many different ways to study something. And doing theme studies has its benefit because you're able to gather a lot of information about one specific particular thing at once. And it's kind of what we're doing in this podcast and in this Absolutely. Workbook as well. Like, we are asking you guys to think about this very specific, particular wound, hurt, sin that has been in your life for such a long time. And this is where doing a theme or a topical study can be of great benefit, as Absolutely. Long as you also understand that it can be risky because it's easier to pull things out of context and misinterpret things that way. So what we would ask you to do is, yeah, you can pull everything out of Scripture all at once, but to maybe take one Scripture passage at a time and to meditate on it, to really zoom in on that. Mm-hmm. And so that means you're going to have a lot of theme studies, and hopefully they will look slower. And you'll be looking at the context of what book is this in? Who wrote that book? Who is the author? Who is that author writing to? What was the purpose of the book? What was the time in which he wrote that book? And what was going on in the surrounding culture of why he needed to write that book? And then what came directly before this passage? What comes directly after this passage? And how does that fit in line with, like, the chapter that I'm reading and this passage? How does it fit in the whole chapter? How does that chapter fit into the entire book that I'm reading? And then go another step further. How does this entire book of the Bible, so let's say we're looking at Matthew because we're looking at Matthew today. How does the entire book of Matthew fit into all of the other books? All of the other 65 books, right, besides Matthew, that are in Scripture. And then I think we will have done a successful theme study, looking at two or three verses in the Matthew chapter 6 that we're going to be looking at today.
Yeah. And we are going to be specifically talking about prayer, right? So we're going to be doing a theme study on prayer, just as an example, to give you an idea of what we're talking about and to orient us. And then we're going to have some episodes after this where we'll give you the example using the struggles that Matt and I have been talking about.
Yeah.
So Matt did a beautiful job outlining this. Aww. There are risks in this, and we want to be able to honor those risks, and we want to be able to look at the context. So this is something that is going to be easy for some and difficult for others. If it's going to be difficult for you, that's okay. Doesn't mean that you shouldn't do it. We're called to do hard things, and we can do impossible things through Christ. So, you know, we pulled together some different verses about prayer, and you know, I took the easy route, and you know, I just simply put in ChatGPT, and here's the question I had: where in the Bible does it talk about how to pray? And I got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different places, and I'm sure, as with anyone that's used ChatGPT before knows, I can just ask, like, hey, can you give me more, and it will then cite more.
You go into other software programs, like biblical software programs, like the Logos one, and you type in prayer, you have to pay for that one. Without paying for it, it gave me a list of other resources outside the Bible, which is also helpful. That's part of the section that comes later, is outside resources. So like those systematic theology books, covenantal theology books, biblical theology books, Bible dictionaries, devotionals, commentaries that walk you through step-by-step scriptures. Those are all good and helpful too. Yeah.
So we'll talk about those actually later on in the theme studies. But this is like the inside the Bible portion.
Yes.
And so...
hundreds, if not maybe 1,000 different references, I think, in Scripture that talk about... That at least just mention praying.
So we'll hover on what was the first result that I got. And both of the first two results that I got were right next to each other. And we want to give you an idea of what actually meditating on Scripture looks like. And Matt, I want to try to do our best to walk you through that and give it this example here. So we have in Matthew 6, verses 5 to 6, and Matthew 6, verses 7 to 8. If you don't mind, I'll actually just read both of them.
Yeah, that would be helpful.
Yeah. So, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And then actually right after this, Jesus goes into the Lord's Prayer.
Mm-hmm.
So quite a bit about prayer there. And Matt, would you be kind, before we were recording a little bit, we were talking a little bit about the context. Would you mind kind of orienting us to that context that's happening here?
You know, later on in history, scribes added in chapter numbers and verse numbers and these subtitles that we have. You know, this one's called the Lord's Prayer. But really, this is all in like one big chunk of writing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard to separate this out, I think, then from what came directly before and what came directly after.
Right.
A lot of this teaching, this is Jesus speaking and teaching. He starts in the chapter before, in, you know, the Sermon on the Mount, where he goes before a great crowd and he gives this grand sermon. And the Beatitudes are in this, you know, all the blesseds. And then he gives these big mountaintop teachings on things that were very pertinent to faith and life and struggle, especially in that time, but I'd say it's still today. You know, so he's given a teaching about anger and then lust and then divorce and then oaths, retaliation, loving your enemies, and then moving into chapter 6 right before prayer, it's giving to the needy. A lot of that language sounds very similar to what he's teaching about prayer in the next session. Giving to the needy, he says, beware your practicing of righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who's in heaven.
Right.
Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. So it's very, very similar. And then after he goes into the Lord's Prayer, after the passage that you just read, he talks about forgiving others. For if you forgive others for their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also for you. So he's talking more about forgiveness right after the Lord's Prayer. And that's significant for a reason, and that's also good to meditate on, of why is forgiveness significant to Jesus
right
after prayer? And we've talked a little bit, will be talking a little bit about forgiveness in later episodes. It's very important. Then after that, he's talking about fasting. And guess what? His language around fasting is also very similar. When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. And so there's similar emphasis on your motivation for why you do it. Don't do it to be seen by other people.
Absolutely.
Not just prayer, but any kind of spiritual discipline that we are called by the Lord to do. That our motivation perhaps should actually be connecting with the Lord, our God, our Savior, to have this kind of intimacy and closeness in this relationship with Him, not so that we get praises of other people, earthly people around us.
Right.
And I think that is worth meditating on the entire rest of this episode. Like, how many times have I probably set a prayer, and it's not wrong to say a prayer in front of people. Like previous episodes when we were talking about prayer, we gave example prayers that I think felt hard and intimate for both of us.
Right.
You know, when we're in a church or around a community group of people, we might say a prayer in front of them. And that's not wrong, but what Jesus is saying is the hypocrites love to stand and pray in the synagogues, on the street corners, that they may be seen by others.
Right. So there's something in here, in the way that like that hits me, there's something in here about the condition of the heart whenever you're
absolutely
praying, that you're not as concerned about God seeing you in that moment as people recognizing you. Right. And whatever they may recognize you as, in that cultural context, if you were... someone that was learned and you're someone that was, part of the, leadership, the religious leadership, there was a lot of awesome things that you got, including like housing. There was money,
the perks,
food.
Were great, yeah, right?
Absolutely. Not to say that, it was all fine and dandy for them, right? There were certain things that they had to do and everything, but for the general population, they live above the mm-hmm. poor.
Right.
They live much better lives than those that were poor or those that were laborers or different things like that. And for them, Jesus seems to be calling out this tension, and this tension is really relevant for us. So, like, as I'm meditating on it, I start to think about times where I have prayed and I look to other people around me for feedback on how I did afterwards. Or I look for some type of or I love it whenever my family asks me to pray. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh yeah, like I'm really good at praying. And it's this hubris that ends up coming, this ego that comes into it. And the condition of your heart is shifted. And Jesus appears to me to be warning a little bit about that, which again is very relevant for me and how my prayer life
totally.
Looks.
Same, dude. Mm-hmm. I had a season in my life whenever I, in youth group, whenever I was, 14, 15, 16 years old, and it was a larger youth group that I attended, they would leave a section open for just popcorn prayers to come up from any of the kids, and I told myself it was genuine and I loved the Lord, and I did. I really did. But I also know that I focused really hard on making sure that my prayer sounded big and glorious and that I used complex words and that I had a certain level of emotion in my voice when I hit certain moments in that prayer. And I know secretly, not so secretly, in my heart, I really wanted other people to look up to me.
Right.
Really wanted that. You know what? I probably did have a lot of people who looked up to me. I'm pretty sure that I did. And what Jesus is saying here is, truly I say to you, they have received their reward. It's kind of like in a lot of these teachings he's giving, you're going to get what you ask for. You're going to get what you want. If really what you want is the praise of people,
right?
Yeah, you'll get that, and you won't get the reward that I have in store for you.
Right.
Which is scary to me that comes fairly closely after some of his teachings, that you will get your reward, you have received their reward, which insinuates that there's a different reward for a heart that prays to the Lord that you're not getting. That seems like the biggest weight, I guess, as I think about it.
Right.
That there's something far better I could be getting. And it reminds mm-hmm. me of, C.S. Lewis teaching in his book, Mere Christianity. This is outside the Bible, obviously. But, he talks about that we are often like children, content to make mud pies while we're at sea, when right over the hill there is a holiday at sea being offered to us, and that we are far too easily pleased with our mud pie making. And very often when I pray, I am sure that I am far too easily pleased, and that there's more that I can want and desire from the Lord in my connection with Him.
Right. The part about repetition also very difficult. I do have repetitive prayers. Part of that was my upbringing, having certain prayers that were repeated daily or at specific times.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that is my brain's way of trying to make sure I'm hitting all the marks. So there is something in this that tells me that who Jesus says God, who Jesus says God is, who Jesus says he is, rubs against this part of me that's like, God's only going to truly know what I'm asking for if I say it out loud and I hit all these things. The only way I'm going to remember to hit all these things is by having some type of pattern of the way I say things.
I have to have the structure, the perfect system in place, the perfect words, and I have to name everything. And if I don't say it or name it, then I might not get this reward from God, right?
So the truth is, that's not something I'm ever consciously thinking. That's something I've had to sit and be like, you know, what is it that makes me start my prayers the same way? I've had to be curious about it. I see this repetition part, and there's a part of me that's like, yeah, because like whenever I get repetitive, I'm not in it. You know, I'm just going through the motions, and that's not what God. God wants active participation from his children. And I'm not actively participating. So there's something that God's hitting on here. And if I can kind of sit in that tension and recognize, what is it that causes me to do this? And
what's it doing for you? Right.
And for me, that's what it is. It's this internal conflict of, you know, I believe God is who he says he is, but my behavior does not reflect that belief. Right. So I have to do business with that part.
Yeah. So back to our chapter 2 in the workbook, you know, recognizing really who God is and that we do have a difference in what we know to be true of God that Scripture tells us and how we behave and then thereby treat God, what our heart maybe thinks about God and how there's a discrepancy there. And this theme study that you do will surely reveal a little bit of two things, even more so, heightening what you already did in the recognized section of who God is, what he says about this particular struggle, what is actually truth, and then your actual heart attitude and thinking of God and this particular topic and how you are involved with it, what you actually believe versus what you know to be true. And there probably will be a difference, right?
So, like, let's say, for instance, that my struggle with God is praying. And maybe that's a struggle because I feel weird doing it. I don't know how to do it. I have all these excuses of why not to do it. And, like, maybe that's the big struggle I'm having. I'm in turmoil because I don't pray enough. And so, like, we get to this theme study. And the beautiful thing about theme studies is that often you start a theme study and it could spring into hundreds more. So we may get to this and we may start to be curious about like, well, wait a second. That is a view of God that I have that's not quite right. Maybe I should do a theme study on that view, how God answers or God already knows what we need before we need it.
Mind's already reeling. I can think of a few things. Even as we were talking, I was thinking, where else do I see language like this? That for your father knows what you need before you ask him. You know, and he's saying that you don't have to have all these empty phrases. And my mind immediately went to Romans chapter 8. And some of you might know exactly what I'm talking about here, what I'm thinking about. When he's talking about how the Spirit intercedes for us. And let me pull it up here. Verse 26, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Which is just amazing, right? That the Spirit is that lives within us. If we are believers, that we have the Holy Spirit, God himself residing within our hearts, so that when we pray and we surely don't name everything, or we don't actually know how to name maybe this deep wound or struggle that you guys are wrestling with right now,
right,
that the Spirit is the one who's still going to God with that, even if you are unaware or too afraid to name it, to say the words out loud.
Right.
There is still connection with God happening.
Also consider this. If we're on this path of this theme study, and I have all these verses I need to read, and you know I'm looking at that, the purpose of the theme study, one, is going to take time, right? You're not going to get through all of it in one sitting. Allow yourself to go on that journey, right? If you're looking at it and that curiosity is tugging you that way, allow yourself to explore that. Allow yourself to spring off into a little bit of this other theme study, because you may find another verse or anything that like kind of mm-hmm. like answers that or kind of like solidifies it. Then you can go back, yeah. right? So if I have this question about prayer, mm-hmm. I do a few of these theme studies. I look up like what are some verses. I see two or three narratives where it's there, and I'm like, huh, okay, like this does show up, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. you know God does know. Then I can come back to my original theme study and continue on from there. I'm allowing that natural inclination to really double down, to really try to grind this out, mm-hmm. to lead me, and that's okay. A lot of times that's what God wants us to move into, the tension. So if there's this tension that comes up, instead of looking at myself and be like, wow, I suck because I don't fully believe in God, okay, let's look at scripture that can help me in that lack of faith, in that gap. Mm-hmm. And we can tie it into a theme study so that we can allow scripture to confront us yeah. there. Allow yeah. scripture to reshape us. Allow God's work to actually take place.
Yeah.
And that's the beautiful thing about these theme studies, these topical studies that we can use for the struggles that we have. And I hope that you get a little bit of an idea there, even just as we're talking, about a little bit of what this process looks like. So we'll talk more about it, right, whenever Matt and I go through our particular struggles, and we'll hit yeah. some of the main theme. Like, we'll kind of sit and meditate on some of these themes. But we wanted to give you an idea of what it really looks like.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think another instance that is so powerful and helpful for a theme study and or meditating for a long period on one particular truth, mm-hmm. and not trying to necessarily pull in, 100 different passages all at once. You can do that, but I would encourage you to meditate on one particular story or passage. Is that there are so many other evidence-based studies out there that prove that when we slow our mind and our body down and we meditate on something positive or good, or something that mm-hmm. we know to be not only positive and good but also true and positive mm-hmm. and good, that we have a better outlook on the world, on people, and on ourselves as we go throughout our day. And if we do that small meditation exercise, no matter what faith, religion, creed you are, that you wind up having at least a little bit more contentment and positivity right. in your life. Mm-hmm. I think there's a reason for that. Like, God designed us to be creatures who pursue truth, who live out of truth, right? We were never meant for a broken, fallen world where we have lies thrown at us. Right. And we have lies thrown at us from a lot of different angles, mm-hmm. from the world, from Satan yeah. and his demons. I would say especially from yourself. You have lies that you believe all the time. Mm-hmm. And what we're asking you to do with meditating on this is to just pursue truth.
Right. Something to consider that may be helpful for you here too. As you're looking at some of these resources in the Bible and doing these theme and topical studies, if you kind of know that you're a better audio learning, cool. Allow yourself to look at an audio version of the Bible. Have God's word read to you.
Yeah.
Right. It may be a little bit easier for you than to listen to this in context, because it's like, okay, like I'm just going to sit and listen to, all right, what is being written in Matthew before this? What's being written after? And kind of like see that context. Because sometimes, like, hearing this read out loud, spoken out loud, it just lands different. Mm. Those of you that know that have done this know what I'm talking about. So just that invitation into, if you know that that may be better for you in some of these moments, you know, give yourself permission to do that. Yeah. We get to reap the benefits of some of the technological advancements that we have, just like we get to also navigate the challenges with it.
So, oh, yeah, for so sure. But there's a benefit as well. The Bible app, I don't know if all of the versions on there have an audio recording of each chapter, but I think at least most of them do. I, in particular, enjoy the ESV, the English Standard Version, and I see a little button right here. I can click play, and a man will read the entire chapter to me, which is awesome.
Yeah, so for those of you that are a little better with audio processing, take advantage of the way that God has designed you.
Yeah.
And allow that to work. So we hope this gives you a little bit better idea. And like I said, Matt and I will go through like our individual struggles to give you a more in-depth idea of what this looks like, just to really try to honor what the intention of what the theme study is in this part of the Bible, because it is crucial. We want you to go into God's Word and try to mine out the wisdom, right? We get wisdom from God's Word. We get wisdom from being able to pray, being seeped in it, helps us find that wisdom and discernment that we so clearly need, especially amidst the struggle that we're trying to hand over to Jesus.
That's right.
So thank you so much for listening to this episode. We appreciate you, and we also love you. And we look forward to talking to you next time. Take care.
Hey, guys. Thank you for tuning in and giving us a listen today to this episode of Handing It to Jesus. We are a not-for-profit organization, and we depend on the donations of people like yourself so that we can keep making podcast episodes like this, and so that we can continue making written content. And so we have provided for you a free workbook that you can find linked right below. You can also find linked our donation page right below. You can also find those links in our bio as well. We hope that through those donations that we are able to continue making more episodes, that we're able to continue making more written content so that you can hopefully grow closer in your walk with the Lord. We ask that you prayerfully consider partnering with us in that way, if God lays that on your heart.
Yeah, and a little more about that. I mean, this is something that I personally struggle with financially, in this like scarcity mindset that Jesus has been working on with me for quite some time. And maybe you're a person like me that's been suffering in that way, and where I see different things that I want, and it always seems like money is tight. And one of the things that we want to let you know is that part of our walk with Jesus is that Jesus gets us uncomfortable around those things. And so, like, usually what this looks like for me is I have my eye on something new that I want. And then there's a effort, there is a mission, there is a front on the kingdom's effort, or something that somebody's doing that I want to put towards. And then I have that like little competition that ends up happening. It's like, all right, do I want to invest towards the kingdom, or do I want to go towards this product? And that's super common for Christians to, especially like in our society in today's day and age, to compete with. And so if you're hearing this today and maybe you feel led to give, maybe there's a movement in your heart, like Matt says, pray about that, take that to God and act on it immediately. Immediately go to the donation, and whatever God lays on your heart, allow yourself to do that, because maybe God is actually calling you to move forward on this front, to actually give into this battle, this mission that we have here. And if you don't feel that call, that's okay too. You can still enjoy the content. Others may pave the way for you. There are most certainly times in my life where things that I really enjoy and that really help me, that others have paved the way for me. And that's okay. You can still enjoy the content, and God may wrestle with you or may call you to fight on this front in a different way, or give in a different way to somebody else. Or maybe, like Matt said, it's actually just spreading the word. It's maybe telling somebody about our podcast. Maybe it's giving us a review in some way to be able to help other believers find this. There is so much content in the world and so many different things that maybe we consume maybe a little too much. And we just want to provide another avenue for believers to put the focus on Jesus, put the focus on that relationship, and to be able to spend that time, whether or not it's in the podcast or some of the written content we have or some of the even ideas that we have for the future. So thank you for joining us in that, whether or not it's you donating to us right now or whether it's you just letting other people know about us existing.
Right. Yeah. Thank you guys again for tuning in. Please subscribe, like, follow, share with your friends, talk about us with other people. We would greatly appreciate that. Thank you so much again, and we love you. We will see you next time.